Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Jonathan Nicholas. Keeping us on track and out of trouble is our producer for the show, Tom McGowan. And now, on to the Property Beat.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Cliff Perotti. I'm live here in Las Vegas. And I'm with our host, Jonathan Nicholas. Jonathan, you there?
I am here. You're hosting a telethon. I know. You're raising
money. I'll tell you what.
We're realtors in need.
Okay, we're good. So can you hear us okay out there in radio?
I can hear you. I can hear you fine all the way from Las Vegas. You're sounding good out there.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I'm excited. We have got a great episode of the Property Beat here. It's a little bit warm. I'm telling you, I'm sitting in 109 degrees plus weather out here, but thank God I'm not on the golf course, so that's good. We will be bringing our show live to you, as you can hear, from Las Vegas, where multiple offers, declining inventory, and rabid investors are starting to show up again. So will Lady Luck hold out this time for us? We're going to find out from our guest, Dave Tina. So we're going to have a great conversation this afternoon. So what's up? How is it in Chicago these days?
Well, it was a humid 91 degrees, very, very warm. But I think they're expecting some storms, and we'll have a high of 80 tomorrow, which is very nice and pleasant. So a lot better than 112, I think, was the forecast high out there in Las Vegas.
Oh, did it really?
Wow.
I don't know. All I know is if I stood too long on the asphalt, my shoes started to get really hot. So it definitely was an interesting experience, and it's been a fabulous journey. I've been out here for about 3 days looking at property and enjoying some of Las Vegas' lifestyle, if you will, out here. And, boy, I'll tell you, what's really encouraging is the number of tourists coming into this town. This place is hopping. So if there's a bad economy out there, I don't know, you start to see good signs coming our way.
A lot of Europeans that I'm here are coming into that marketplace out there as well, especially the Eastern Europeans that are showing up, and that might be good news for the real estate market in Las Vegas.
Yep. Well, you know, as I mentioned briefly a moment ago, we're going to be joined today by Dave Tina, who's the general manager for Realty One Group. It's a firm that's been it's the largest company. Are you the largest company at this point? Yeah, the largest company in Las Vegas. So we're excited, and this is a fun format for us because very rarely do we get to have the guest sitting right across the microphone for me, so that's going to be fun. And he's going to be giving us his insights on just kind of what the realities of the Vegas market is like. I know that we've had some email inquiries and just kind of phone calls about the Vegas market, so we're going to explore it thoroughly. So we're here to talk real estate today.
Well, that's exciting. We'd like to encourage you, or listeners out there, to get involved with the conversation as well. We love it when you do that, and you can do that by calling in to 347-989-0439. Yeah, we like to get those phone calls and messages and comments and emails, and we always delete the ones that say, you couple of knuckleheads, you don't know what you're doing. So we totally ignore those. But anyway, you can go out to Let Your Fingers Do the Walking, 347-989-0439. And you can also email us at comments@thepropertybeat.com. Now, if you haven't downloaded any of our archive shows, you got to go do that. So go to either our website or to iTunes, pull down some of the episodes we've had, like we had, I believe it's Jim Randall that was an investor talking about some great investment ideas. So do that, and we would love to see you catch up on what we've been doing here at Property Beat.
Yeah, and you know, we want to make sure that we mention the fact that on the Property Beat website, we launched about 4 months ago our agent network, and we had another couple of agents join us from Atlanta, one from Atlanta actually, and one from Phoenix this last week. So that find an agent tool is going to become more resourceful. And Dave, I'm sitting there looking at Dave going, we need to get your agents on that system. So we're looking forward to that. So before we get on to the odds on Vegas, we're going to have a couple of news stories for you, but we'll be right back after this important message.
too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. If only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
Always exciting.
Oh, I have to stand back 10 feet from the microphone to do that, or otherwise I'd hurt it. So, well, what have you got for us this week on the real estate news front?
Well, interesting out there, you know, who has your mortgage? I guess that's the question for the day because, you know, there's been so much consolidation in the mortgage industry, and there's really about only three or four players out there that are holding the majority of the mortgages, and some really a lot of trepidation out there in the investment markets right now. What's happening with Bank of America? Are they headed toward a collapse? And I think there was some news that hit the news wires late last night that J.P. Morgan might be making a run at Bank of America to try to take them over. Of course, J.P. Morgan is Chase. There's a lot of things that are troubling Bank of America, first of which would be just the fact that they assumed this huge portfolio of Countrywide's, you know, some years ago, and now they are saddled with about $130 billion in mortgages that aren't going so well, and home equity loans, and on top of that, all of the court cases that they've had, where they've been sued, and you know, loan modifications and that have gone wrong, and then Jerry Brown, out in, you know, who's now California governor, who was the state attorney general. Went after them in regards to, you know, how they were, I guess,
robo-signing
and that type
right,
of stuff. Yeah, robo-signing, all these things. So all of these are huge liabilities that keep stacking up and stacking up against Bank of America. What's going to happen with them? And all I can think of when I even think about this coming, you know, into fruition, perhaps they are bought out or perhaps they're taken down or perhaps the government tries to bail them out again, whatever's going to be, is I don't want to even think about all these poor homeowners and all of these people that have gotten used to one way of doing business that, again, is now going to be turned upside down because no different than when they took over Countrywide and underwriting and everything else was just such a problem for this company. What will happen?
Well, you know, and they also, remember, they got it was AIG. So, you know, they go out and they make these loans, and then not only do they make these aggressive loans, they then turn around and AIG was one of the investors that bought them, and AIG is suing them for oodles and oodles of money. I mean, that literally could take them down between that and the bad loans. You know, it comes back to the question, are they too big to let fail?
Right, exactly right. So, you know, is the government going to step in once again, or will they force the hand and make them, just as they did with Merrill Lynch and cause them to fold into Bank of America, now will Bank of America fold into J.P. Morgan Chase? It's going to be interesting to watch this all play out.
I think you're right. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I'm going to gaze into my crystal ball and say that is the perfect out for them where they're getting bailed out through basically a merger and acquisition. It's not going to solve all the problems, but it would save face, so to speak, and allow their stock's down. And last I saw, it was down in the $5 range. I don't even know what it's at today.
Exactly. I haven't looked at it as well, but I tell you, it does not look good for it.
Yeah. Well, why don't we do this? Well, that was a little bit of a news story. Did you have another one for us, or you want to go to question?
No, absolutely. I always have news stories, so the other, well, I tell you what, I'm going to just kind of take a page from personal experience. I had the opportunity this week to sit in on a presentation with Lawrence Yoon, who is the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, and it was interesting to note some of his economic update, what he was saying in that economic update. And when I looked at some of the indicators that he looks at as an economist, that most economists are going to look at, regarding jobs and job growth or lack of job growth, tax credits, and how that we fared in this market after the tax credit. There's certain things that absolutely stand out as positives, which I think we probably don't hear enough about in this industry. And number one would be affordability. The home affordability is at an all-time high. It's never been better when you look at the ratios and what you can buy now for your money. Rents are on the rise as we're seeing that investors are out there that are investing in rental property, that rents are actually going up because there's more people being forced into rentals. And it's interesting that it's always been that 1% rule, the property value to rent. And we're seeing that for the first time, he said, actually go above what has been the norm. So rents are getting less affordable than mm-hmm. it is to buy a home, which is going to actually swing the other way and cause more people to buy. Cash flow is positive for investors right now, and they're able to get into investments and immediately cash flow, which has not happened in a number of years because of what they're able to buy for their money and how the low prices are. Plus, investors are in this game to use their investment as an inflation hedge, which was the big thing that really brought us out in the late 80s. The investors turned the market for us. There's a few things, of course, that are negative, and when we look at those things, number one, jobs are slow to recover, and that's been a thing that has kept us from recovering. Consumer confidence is continued to be down. The underwriting standards and credit has been tough, to turn around the market because they've just become so much more critical of people's credit and mm-hmm. much more tight on the reins of the money. And actually, the number of FSBOs in the market for sell by owners has declined as more for sell by owners are tending to go into the MLS now than what has been the history over the years. So one thing he pointed out that I had not heard before was that there was $6 trillion in housing equity in the United States. And much of that equity, has been threatened. And that is a huge amount of money. When you put that in perspective with the GDP and all that, you realize what influence the real estate market has on our economy. $6 trillion, is at stake here. So there's some positive things in there. And his bottom line was, mm-hmm. It's going to be a good year before we really, really see this market turn. And he's predicting a 1% to 2% rate of growth for our market, which is not like the historic 4% and 5% that we would like to enjoy. So anyway, I just thought I would give that to you as an aside.
Actually, that's great. I'm hoping that you're going to include some of that stuff on our blog this week, because that's good stuff.
It is good stuff. We'll do that for sure. So we'll look forward to putting that up and letting our listeners
great. Take a look at that. Well, we'll be right back after this brief break with our question of the week, so stay tuned.
My dog's faster than your dog. My dog's bigger than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
Kennel ration. The lean red meat he wants, the other good things he needs. Juicy, tender, and moist.
My dog's prettier, smarter, taller. My dog's better than yours.
Kennel ration.
All right. Well, welcome back. So as you all know, if you've listened to the show again, we love to challenge our listeners each week with a different question of the week that poses a question for our listeners to answer, and we give a little prize away based upon our prior show. So, Jonathan, what was the question from last week?
Well, for all of you social media files out there, what was the term that Cliff used back when he was broadcasting live, once again from the Inland Conference? What did he use to describe the aggregation of content for distribution through social media?
And the answer is?
Curation. That was the act, if you will, if I'm going to define it, of collecting all that information and then redistributing it.
Yep, we're no longer giving our own thoughts out there. We're just curating excellent information from all sorts of different sources. So that's great. That was a good question, I thought. So we had a winner, and that's Tony Mendez from Laguna Niguel in California. Tony, you're going to receive a Property Beat T-shirt. So congratulations to Tony. And Jonathan, I know I'm actually kind of afraid, but go ahead. What is the question of the week from our last show?
Well, this is another little thought process that intrigued me, so I thought I would include it in this week's question of the week. Jim Randall joined us. He was a real estate investor with that Skinny Book series. Did I say Skinny? Oh, the Skinny On series, not Skinny Book series. It's like the Skinny Margarita.
I don't know. They're all that thick, but I get the idea, yeah.
Yeah, right. So he had a great term that he used to describe a change in use for potential investors that you
might
What was that term? I thought it was, too. What was the term?
It was good because it was a real place to make money in real estate. It was really a good term. So if you think you know the answer to this week's question, then send it to us here at The Property Beat by emailing us questions@thepropertybeat.com. And if you don't know the answer, why go back and listen to our prior week's show on your iPod via iTunes, download it, listen, basically cheat, and then send in your answer. The first person who gets it right will win a Property Beat t-shirt. So there you go. We'll be right back with our special guest, Dave Tina, right after this commercial break.
My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with C-R-O-D-N-A.
Oscar Mayer, the first name in Bologna.
How's that?
Welcome back to The Property Beat, where this week our special guest is Dave Tina, General Manager for Realty One Group in Las Vegas. So this company is operating in three states. It has 17 offices and over 2,500 agents. But I don't know that they're going to stop there. I'm sure there's something on the horizon, so I'm really intrigued about hearing about that kind of stuff. So Dave brings over 34 years' experience in real estate to the table as a part of Realty One Innovative Management Team. We're excited you could join us today. Dave, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Now, as our listeners know, one of the things that we like to ask our guests is we start off by wanting to kind of give them a sense of who you are as a person and not just about real estate, but, you know, what do you got going on? And we ask you to tell us something unusual about yourself that people may or may not know, that is something that someone you met, something you've done, something you're particularly proud of, anything you want. It doesn't have to be real estate related. So what have you got?
Okay, of those 34 years, 20 of them was a broker on Long Island. And while I was on Long Island, I had show horses for 30 years in New York City and Long Island. And I showed horses all over the United States, reining horses.
Wow.
With the National Reining Horse Association, and we actually had them in New York City itself.
Wow. Wow. So now do you still have horses, or do you still get to ride?
When I moved to Las Vegas, they were too hot to be here.
They would not be healthy. That's for sure. You know, I'm going to also ask you, I'm going to dig a little deeper, because I also found out about something about you as we were chatting earlier. You're a former restaurateur, aren't you?
Yes, I had a restaurant for 10 years. And
where was it at?
That was in Long Island, Medford, Long Island, called the Landmark Cafe. And when I decided to move to Vegas, we sold it and moved out here.
Wow. So you were one of the few guys that actually made it in the restaurant business and then left it to go into real estate.
Yes, did it the whole time. It's all sales.
There it is. That's really the truth. All right, so we'd like to remind our listeners, if you'd like to call in and you have a question, you can simply call us live at 347-989-0439, and Jonathan will pick up that call and get you on the air.
Well, I would love to know if Dave ever traded horses for real estate. That would be especially when you were getting
out of horses. Did you ever trade horses for real estate? That's a really good question.
That's a great question. I was a horse seller and a house seller, but never a trader.
I can remember years ago when I first got into business that our broker of our company walked in the door, and he said, "You'll never believe what I have out in the parking lot." And we're like, "What?" And he said, "Come out and look." And it was a horse and a horse trailer he'd taken in as a earnest money deposit on a property that he was selling. So I just had to ask the question because the horses brought up that memory. So for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about your role currently at Realty One Group there in Las Vegas?
Sure. I've been with Realty One for 5 years now, and when I came 5 years ago, I came as the manager of the Summerlin office. In those 5 years, we brought the agent count from 500 to 1,500, and our Summerlin office became number one in the city 3 years ago, and then the company 3 months later became number one, and we have never lost that position in over 3 years in production and in agents.
Wow, that is amazing. So you are the general manager over all of the offices there in Las Vegas?
After that time, our owner moved to California to open four more offices, and then I stepped from being the broker manager to be the GM of Las Vegas. And I get to go to California and Phoenix and check all our new offices out.
Excellent. So it sounds like you were the right person for the job. It was a good hire.
There you go.
Thank you.
So Las Vegas, now it's been in the news, and we always hear about the real estate market in Las Vegas on any real estate report, you know, whether they're talking about Phoenix or Vegas or up and down markets and hotbeds of activity. So it's always been in the news. It's always listed as a place to invest, and then sometimes it's a place to avoid. So what's on the radar right now, the potential place to invest? It looks like it is on the radar again, and that's kind of why we want to do this show today. Can you tell us what's the truth behind the Vegas market? What is the real story here? The fact
give us the skinny, yeah.
Okay, here's the good, bad, and ugly of it. The great news for anyone buying now is that we're almost 60% less than we were of the 05, 06 high prices.
Wow.
Basically, an investor comes in and buys a $150,000 home. They could rent that home for $1,500. Our rentals are busy as could be because the Strip is still alive and well, as Cliff told you today. It's busy, and tourism has gone up and gambling for the last 15 months straight. So our investors from Asia, Canada, huge amount, and South America make up nearly 60% of our sales at all cash.
Wow.
All cash sale. So the investors are coming in and having no problem renting it and getting a nice 10% on their money. And if anyone has money in the bank right now, we're lucky if we're getting an eighth of a percent. So that's why they're buying in Vegas, and the buying is pretty rapid.
Wow. That's excellent. That's amazing. 60% less. So what percentage of the inventory in Las Vegas is actually distressed or REO bank-owned properties?
Right now, we have over 40% that are short sales and probably less than 20% that is a foreclosure nature. Our inventory, as far as foreclosure, they talk a lot about shadow inventory, and we can't find it because none of the houses in our neighborhoods are sitting there empty unless they're on the market.
Wait a minute! You gotta love that. We have been listening and talking about this shadow inventory for freaking 6 months, and here you go. We can't find it. I like that. The shadow.
It's a great term, and people love to talk about it. But at the office meeting with 100 agents, I say, "Does anyone have a house that isn't listed but empty in their neighborhood?" And everyone says no. So we can't find the shadow, and what we believe our inventory is down from last year. So we see quite a nice recovery, but like I said, at 60% off, that's a pretty good sale, and the rate of return is around 10%. So we have our investors. They're very busy. We have the first-time home buyers. Unfortunately for me, I bought my first house in 1977, and I'm showing my age, and my rate was 8.5%. And now, in 2011, you could get 3.75 to 4%. So the rates, the prices, it is a perfect time. We're discovering a huge amount of retirees because I was a New York City fireman for 20 years. And in New York, my pension was known to every man tax. Every tax that man could put on it was on it. In Vegas, you just pay your federal tax, and all the rest is free. So as a retirement community, we're the entertainment capital of the world, and the only tax you're going to pay on your money is your federal tax. So we have a huge amount of baby boomers, which I am, coming into town.
Well, I was impressed by the fact that he just said he bought a house when he was 8 years old in 1977.
Exactly right. Absolutely. In between Gilligan's Island episodes, obviously. So,
you know, Jonathan, just to support something he was saying, I went out and looked at some properties this morning with one of his agents, and we looked at about a dozen properties, and some of these houses that I was looking at for $150,000 had been priced at $350,000 to $375,000 before. So, man, there are some steals out there available. It feels like it might be time, and I don't want to be the guy to do that, but it might be time to start really getting serious about this. So, anyway.
Wow. Now, do you see, because of the market and the great return on investment that investors are seeing, are you seeing any of the banks lean in that direction and actually rent out the property until the market recovers?
You know, I have never seen a bank rent a property in my career here. They put them on the market and they sell them, and we're still getting multiple offers. Not insanely that you can't get a house, but 2 to 3 offers on each bank property that you're going for. And even the builders, to become competitive, have dropped their prices, and they're giving a percent less in interest rate to make the payment equal to a foreclosed home by saving on the interest of the loan you're buying.
Wow, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That is a whole new look.
Also, one of the things that I was going to comment on there was that these lenders, I'm surprised, because I saw a couple of places that had been on the marketplace. One place had been on the marketplace for over a year, and the lender was being stupid and not moving the price. But most of these, it looks like they're going relatively quickly. The lenders are getting smart. They're pricing them well. And if they're priced well, they just move, which is a very encouraging thing for the marketplace. So, folks, we'll be right back. We're going to pause for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Pancake cookies, pancake cookies, pancake baker, you're a famous man.
Well, all I do is bake them just as good as it can.
What did you seek for Mr. Pancake
Man? I sample them, ladies, one from each pan.
Choose and fresh oven, there's more in the oven. Hey, Mom!
Put Patty Cake cookies on the shopping list.
Oatmeal, chocolate chip, and sugar mix. I'm seeing varieties on your market shelf.
Why, they're so good, you're lucky I don't eat them all myself.
Pancake cookies, pancake cookies.
Blue cellophane package, you can see what you buy.
What makes the taste a good pancake pan?
Well, to tell the truth, I sample them, 2 from each pan.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back.
All right. We're back!
Las Vegas has an enormous inventory of single-family homes and condos for sale out there. Where do you see the buyers coming from to absorb? Now, you talked about the investors and where they're coming from, but the layperson out there, where do you see the buyers coming from to absorb the rest of that inventory?
Yeah, where are they coming from? And are they investors or are they owner-occupants or a mix?
Well, about 60% of them are investors that are not buying them to flip them because they're all cash. And then the other 40% are first-time home buyers that are working in Las Vegas, and we have a 13% unemployment, but we have an 87% employment. And those people have to find some place to live. And when you see low interest rates and prices back to 2000 and 2001, it's pretty knowledgeable to know to buy a house now. This is what, and then like I said, we're becoming a very strong retiree area.
Absolutely. It sounds like it. Now, in those investors of the 60%, I have to imagine some of those people are probably buying those for second homes, you know, for vacation homes, or maybe, you know, doing even maybe a monthly or weekly rental on some of those. But I would think people are grabbing up the resort market as well.
Well, after coming, I was a New Yorker for 45 years, and with the weather that they had this year, the worst winter ever, I would think that a lot of them would like to be doing 4 months in Las Vegas instead of four months in snow. So, yes, we do have second home buyers.
Now, the tenants, they're coming from the Strip or the maybe the casino employees. Where are most of those tenants coming from to rent out these investments?
And most of the tenants are coming from either working on the Strip or to work. They're working to support the 2 million people that live here, as in the stores, the phone companies, utility companies, and they're all looking for some place to live. They're also coming from all the people that are short selling. They're short selling their house or foreclosing their house, but not necessarily leaving. So they have to live there. So the rentals have got much less restrictive on credit reports because they know that people have short sailed or foreclosed their house, but they still have a wonderful job. Their children are in our schools and they want to live here. So that's where the tenants are coming from.
Now, you've got some distinct market areas. You know, you've mentioned Summerlin, which is a great planned community area. You've got the southern edge, southwest edge of town. But you've also got North Las Vegas. Now, that's a totally different market. So for our listeners that don't know the geography there, kind of give us some insight as to Las Vegas and the North Las Vegas marketplaces. What's the difference?
Well, what happened, the big difference is North Las Vegas was a very small city. When the boom came, they developed it at a rapid, rapid pace. So, of course, the houses that got hurt the most in foreclosure and short sale were in the houses that got built the last, which unfortunately was North Las Vegas. So it is also coming back there, but it'll definitely be a longer, slower, harder process than it is of the more established communities of Summerlin, Southwest, Green Valley. So that's why North Las Vegas will take a little longer, but is doing fine with casinos, stores, and people living up there.
So some good opportunity there to invest as well, it sounds like.
They're investing all over town.
Oh, yeah. Well, because of the amount of building that had gone on there, I mean, in all communities, it sounds like, across the United States had a little bit of overbuilding going on. There seemed to be a real issue there in Vegas regarding the availability of water for the area. So how has that been addressed, and is it still an issue for you out in Las Vegas?
Water will always be an issue in Las Vegas, but about 5 years ago, they put water restrictions on us, and those water restrictions involved our watering of our property, consumption, waterfalls, any water feature. Fortunately, the lake went up this year, so we have more water this year than we have in the last 2 years.
That's fed from the runoff from the Colorado River, is that right?
That is exactly right. Yeah. And like New York, Colorado had a lot of snow.
Thank goodness
for
snow.
Well, now we have a question from a listener, Joy McGraw of Minneapolis. Joy emails, I have stayed away from Vegas in the 2009 and 10 markets, but feel it is time to jump in with both feet. Is there a particular area you see the city growing towards? And in other words, is there a path of progress?
Well, the answer I would give to that is Summerlin, where we are right now, is a very desirable area in town. You couldn't afford it. A lot of people couldn't afford to buy in Summerlin or live in Summerlin in the high market. So now that the market has gone down, the easiest rental is in a master plan community. So if it were me, I would try to stay in Summerlin, master plan, or if you like, the east side, Green Valley, because the master plan seem to do better in investing and in renting. So those are the two areas I would stick with.
Well, great. Now, we'd like to remind our listeners, if you have questions and like to join us today, you can call in at 347-989-0439. We'll be right back with guest Dave Tina right after this message.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
Fruitcake. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Hawaiian punch fruit punch with 10% real fruit juice for a real fruit juicy taste.
Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit
for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Probably questions.
Okay, we're back again.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Property Beat, where we're talking to Las Vegas man and real estate guru of the valley, Dave Tina. So if you have a question or comment, you can simply call us at 347-989-0439. So, Dave, now you mentioned something called a master. What were you calling this community, Summerlin? You were saying they were a master something?
Master plan community.
So tell me what that really means. Explain to our listeners for me, would you?
Okay. In Green Valley and Summerlin, they're the largest master plan communities. What happens is there's restrictions on you, how you treat your property.
Uh-huh.
They're built with more trees, more grass, more parks, and the people that live here want to live in those communities for those reasons. So that's why a master plan community has a higher desirability for rent than a non-master plan.
Okay, and then there's usually like some kind of association fee. I was noticing it was like on the low side $40 or $50 to.
Yeah.
You have some more expensive ones, but those have a lot more infrastructure or vegetation or pool amenities or whatever it was. Is that kind of?
That is correct. If it's just a single family home, you usually pay about $40, $45. But that gives you the security of the master plan, that drive around, parks, pools that you could bring your family to,
mm-hmm.
Events that are included only in the master plan, and you then stay in that master plan community and use their shops and sort of stay in your own area.
Great. Yeah, most importantly, they plant trees for shade.
Exactly.
Now, let me switch gears on you. In your role as general manager of a very large real estate company in a major metropolitan marketplace, you know, how has the market slowdown affected or changed the way your company does business over the last couple of years?
Well, fortunately for me, I've been in it 34 years,
mm-hmm.
so the days where the market was insane, you just basically had to show houses and sell them or they'd be gone the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So what I taught in the program we went to was a combination of old and new.
Uh-huh.
Our program of teaching was back to basics,
right.
And we went back to open houses and just working the market and farming and doing everything we could to get buyers and sellers to go with us. At the same time, we've gone to websites and putting ourselves all over every website that is available to the agent, so you get a combination of the techie and you get a combination of the person that likes the old way of doing business. In doing this, what has happened is the part-time agents have left and the full-time agents are truly career realtors that are doing a phenomenal job out there to get the houses sold.
Well, you're hitting on a question I was wanting to ask, which is, you know, what type of agents are being the most successful during these kind of a challenging market? Is it that techie, or is it the more experienced one, or is it the one who's system-oriented, or who's the person that's making it out here?
That's a great question, and unfortunately it isn't techie that makes us win, or it isn't anything. It's the person that has opened their mind to doing anything they can in this new market, because it's a new market,
mm-hmm.
to get the job done. And that person is on 15 websites one day and doing 2 open houses all weekend,
mm-hmm.
and then farming during the rest of the week. Going the combination of the old and new and working hard are our new successful realtors.
Well, that you're answering kind of the next question, which was, what are the key strategies or skills that you recommend? You're recommending a good mix of those. And at the bottom line, it sounds like you still got to work your butt off in this business.
I think we're working harder for less money than we ever did in our life.
Mm-hmm.
The great part about it has become a career, not a side job.
Yeah. Well, and we're seeing that across the country in my marketplace as well. We've lost 30%. Now, you guys have suffered some serious loss of agents in your marketplace.
Yeah, we went from about 18,000 to 11,500. And we still have 11,500 to come and take care of you. But, yes, we have. We've lost a lot. And I am a board of director, and one of the things that this board is trying to do is, you know, austerity and transparency to get the money used in the best way possible.
Well, in fact, you're leading to a question I want to talk about, and I know Jonathan wants to talk about it, which is, you know, your role in the Association of Realtors here and what you see happening. So can we take a quick break, Jonathan, and we'll be right back?
No, absolutely. Let's take a real quick break, and we'll be back right after this commercial.
Snap. What a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. Me clap, rap. Snap, crackle, like crispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or spots not found. Crispies. I insist that pop's the sound. The best was missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping when the cereal's popping. Snap, crack, pop, Rice Krispies. I can crackle, the pop's the sound. I gotta have crackle as the pop's my sound. Can't stop a popping when the cereal's popping. Snap, crack, pop, make the world go round. Kellogg's best to you.
Well, welcome back to the Property Beat. We'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question you'd like to ask our guest, you can simply call us right here at 347-989-0439. Well, we do have a question from a listener, and that's Joey Vantresca, Cherry Hills, New Jersey. Joey writes that he's been nursing about 15 single-family homes through the downturn of the market there in Vegas, actually owns property in Vegas. And he's been at break-even on his operating statement for the last 2 years. But he's asking, when do you think that the market prices are going to return back to those 2007 levels? Because what his master plan is, it looks like, is to roll those homes into a 1031 exchange for a larger single investment. So what do you think if you look in your crystal ball?
Could you get your guru ball out right now? I want to know the answer.
I was just going to say, if you could see me, I am bald, and I would look great with a turban. And I do have a crystal ball, but unfortunately it isn't glowing right now. I really don't know, and the only thing I could say is they're at the lowest right now, and that they've been historically, and realtors that are smart, we go from the past, and that's how we judge. And
well, let's touch on something, because like one of the things that I noticed, you mentioned it briefly, are prices, in your opinion, rolled back 10 years realistically in this market, or...
I would say we're back to 2001,
yeah.
So it's a 10-year rollback. And I would say don't worry where the bottom is. Worry about your investment of what percent of return you want to get on your house.
Yeah.
And if it's 10% you want to get and you could get it now, get it. Because long-term, you're going to get your 10% right away. And then, of course, traditionally, real estate has always gone up and down. And in the end, always been more expensive when you sell it 20 or 30 years from now. So that's my theory on it.
Good. There you go, Joey.
Good advice. Good advice. Just hang in there, sounds like. Sounds like he's doing fine. He's not losing any money. He's doing fine. And if he just rides it and has the buy and hold strategy, he's going to do great, sounds like. So now, as we understand it, you're the president-elect for the Las Vegas Association of Realtors. Congratulations on that. So you'll be the incoming president. You ran on a platform of three key points you already mentioned. Those were austerity, transparency, and direct member services. So really seeing the money flow to the benefit of the, or as an advocacy to the agent that's out there in the field. Sounds like a good plan for the United States of America, not just the Las Vegas Association of Realtors.
Yeah. So, he could be a politician, I'm telling you.
Absolutely, sounds like it. So how does your association, how do they survive? You know, you mentioned 6,500 agents that they're down. How do you look forward and how do you rebuild?
With the association on that plan, the reason I ran on that role is I wanted to have the agent services that we supply at our board come to the agents and teach them more how to survive. And then in transparency, I welcomed everyone to see exactly what we do and how to do it. And on austerity, we can't run it the same way we did when we had money. And the example of that is I drive a Volvo, and I used to drive a $100,000 Mercedes. So tighten our belts, work smart, spend smart, and then when it goes back, we could change up to where we used to be. So let's keep our dollars working harder for us, and we will go through this and come out successful and with a great association that we're continuing with.
Now even with that loss, the association still has how many members, really?
We have 11,500, which makes us the fifth largest association in the United States.
Wow.
So we're still pulsing and doing well, and we are not cutting any benefits to our realtors.
So to give you an example, in our marketplace, we have 1,300 realtors. So it's like you could fit all 10 of us into your place. So that's great.
Yeah.
Well, now on a completely different note, and you mentioned it, you were a fireman in New York, and now you're the general manager of a real estate company. Sounds like you're pretty much doing the same job these days, putting out fires.
And that is exactly what I say. When the realtors go crazy with the problem, I said, listen, I'm still putting out fires. One could have killed me. The other one, maybe you'll give me a nervous breakdown, but it won't kill me. So it's the same job. Whether it was the restaurant, the real estate, or fireman, I'm putting out fires.
You are a glutton for punishment and loving it, obviously. Well, and your people say some great things about you. Your agents really like you and really have a real sense of confidence in your decision-making, which is great. Now, I noticed, given my Italian heritage, that you did some kind of an organization that you started here in Las Vegas called Unico. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about what is that organization, what does it do?
Okay. What happened was I got together with an Italian agent that works with me, and we found that there were 150,000 Italians in Las Vegas. So we started Unico Las Vegas, which is a national association.
Uh-huh.
And basically it's a get together of Italians and anyone else that wants to be in it. We do fundraising, and then we give all the money away to all the homeless. We feed homeless, anything we could do to help the population. And that's just a give back for all the good that has happened to all the people here, Italians in Las Vegas, wanting to give back.
Well, and 150,000 Italians sounds like a really big party to me.
Well, they have
dangerous.
They have some great Italian food in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. So, Jonathan, do you have any other questions?
Well, I'm just thinking about all the nice hole-in-the-wall places there are, that now that explains that to me, why there was some good Italian to be found in some strip centers.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
You're right.
Now,
I know
you've got to have a favorite one. So give our listeners a tip. If you're headed to Las Vegas, where are you going to get the best Italian food?
No, that's just a funny thing, because I grab everyone at Realty One Group here, and we make them go down to the Strip. And believe it or not, if you're on the Strip, the best one I like is in the Palazzo, and it's called Lavo. And they have wonderful Italian food. If you go to the neighborhood, then there's all these little small Italian restaurants. And I go to Rocco's a block away from our office and get pizza tastes just like I'm home in New York.
Oh, great.
So there's local places. But if you're on the Strip, I would go to Lavo.
Great. Well, we'd like to thank our guests for tuning in and listening to today's episode, and we'd like to thank our special guest, Dave Tina. Thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck with your role in the Las Vegas Association. I tell you, you're standing in front of freight trains when you do that. Good luck to you on that. That's always a fun one. So best wishes for 2012 and the Realty One Group. Thank you for joining us. That's it for this week, folks, on The Property Beat.
Well, that's a wrap for our show today, folks. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Property Beat. We'd like to remind you that if you have any questions you'd like answered on our next show, you can simply email us at questions@thepropertybeat.com. You can also follow our blog at thepropertybeat.com, where you'll get news, tips, and stories about today's real estate industry. For now, I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with Jonathan Nicholas, saying so long. Thanks for tuning in.